And we welcome you back once again to Bearcat Stadium, where we will call this, it's a brand new experiment, let's start out. It is going to be a post-game show podcast. And we'll do it each and every week after we finish the game, kind of give our thoughts while they're still fresh in our minds as to what we just saw and what we expect to see moving forward, maybe after the Final Gun podcast as we talk about the Bearcats and tonight's game, got the season started. What was once old is new again. It is Tim Buchanan 2.0, his first game back as he and Steve Wood flip-flop positions once again. Tim Buchanan, once the athletic director and head coach, then went to just athletic director. Steve Wood became the head coach, and now they have reversed those roles. And Tim Buchanan back, long considered the architect of the modern era in terms of Bearcats football. Jeff Williams, John Hampton, Kevin Lundquist. Tonight, 60-57, and for just the fourth time in the history of this building, which dates back to 2006, the Bearcats come up on the short end, and the out-of-whack stat from the Deacon. By the way, we're going to have to get him to kind of hang around sometime, and he may want to maintain the mystery, though. But maybe we can have him on there. But he says that those 60 points tonight by Guyer represents 8% of all points scored by an opponent in the history of this building, which gives you an idea of the great Bearcats defenses that we've had in this building over the years. But 60-57, Aledo's regular season win streak is over at 39 games, and their win streak in this building ends at 27. Non-conference game. In fact, we discussed this gentleman a few years ago. They lost two non-conference games and still went on to win the state championship. What was that, back in 15, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was 14.
No, that was the semis, 14, yeah. And they had lost a game prior to. So this doesn't really count in the standing, so to speak. And again, 60-57, I'm sure alarm bells everywhere. Oh, my gosh, they can't stop anybody. Well, they couldn't stop Guyer tonight. Guyer couldn't stop them. And as I mentioned earlier, your thoughts, I don't think either one of these teams is as bad as they show tonight. First game against elite offenses, it happens.
Yeah. I think from the standpoint, if you're an Aledo fan and as you watch if you were at Bearcat Stadium tonight and watched it, maybe the alarming thing that stands out to you is that the defensive front, which Aledo has been known for having over the years, and we just got spoiled with it because of the guys like Colt Ellison and Big James, that they could just dominate, and they just didn't do that tonight against a really dynamic offensive team. And Guyer, they were yielding 24 pounds per player, and that shows up, and it does wear on you, and they just couldn't get any pressure on Stowers tonight, and so he was just very comfortable in the pocket. He could dial up John whatever he wanted to, and that's why they were ripping off big chunks of yardage and ripping off large, long touchdown plays, too, something that they're going to have to correct moving forward.
Well, so, like, the pendulum swings in the game constantly, and we see this – just explosion of really accurate quarterbacks and receivers and dynamic quarterbacks. Well, they get 12 months to practice those. It's a year-round. The offense has become a year-round sport. You get 3 or 4 weeks for defense to get prepped, to start disengaging from blocks and practicing your tackles. That takes a lot of time. And so the combination of the athleticism being that much better and the skill sets and the time to polish – offenses are just so crazy ahead. It's not just Aledo and Guyer. Check out the scores. I listened to you read off the scores. Let's check
Weatherford
out.
Hung 81 on
right. Weatherford, 81.
Highland Park was in a 66-59 shootout tonight with Rockwell.
My brother was over there. Yeah, my nephew's there. I mean, it's the game that's now being played. So I don't know, when you talk about the pendulum, like, they're not going to run the clock. They're not going to shorten these games. It's going to become a kind of a crazy offensive game and sort of a mix between arena football and get one or two stops in basketball on turf. You got to get a couple stops when you need them, but other team's going to get theirs. Kids are just too good.
But I think this is a good thing for Aledo to be involved. I mean, last year's 40-0 victory up there in Denton was, I think we can all agree, was kind of an abomination because Guyer's a much better program than what it showed in that game. But, you know, games like this, and you see all the massive tilts in the season opener, like Galena Park North Shore playing Katy last night. Again, we just mentioned Rockwall and Highland Park getting together. All these super matchups, Cedar Hill playing Allen, those types of things. These coaches aren't afraid because they know their programs are really good, so they're not afraid of these matchups. And the records
– The good coaches aren't.
Yeah, good point. The good coaches aren't. They don't mind if they take a loss because they know the bigger picture. And Tim Buchanan's program, Steve Wood's program, they're in this elevation. They haven't won seven state championships in this last decade because they fell into it. They put themselves in a position so that they would be willing to play this. Look, they played the number 8 team in the state of Texas.
In 6A.
In 6A. They're in 5A, and they're not a large school 5A. They're a small school 5A. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm just saying this is what you want your elite programs to do, is to be involved in games like this. And the results, you take a lot out of it because of the greater good down the road.
Well, so the beauty of it is the high school – Tim Buchanan or Lito – they're not going to be penalized for losing tonight.
No.
In the college game, you kind of you get a setback if you go take – Oregon and Auburn are going to play tomorrow. The loser's going to kind of fall back, you know, in the rating, whatever. You get penalized in the college game. Well, in high school, there is none. So I think that creates an interest to go play. And who's going to play a leader? There's not that
right.
many
Nobody,
schools.
Nobody's
going to
the thing.
There's
yeah.
nobody – not that many people are going to play them. We see it. Next week, who are we playing? They're playing a team out of Mexico because how many teams will go – not that many teams are lining up to come play here.
And John told Kevin this tonight, John Walsh, the head coach for Guyer, who's won a couple of state championships himself in this decade. He knows a little bit about football, and I guarantee you Tim Buchanan and Steve Wood would agree with him 100%. We don't play these games to find – you know, we already know what we're good at. This is a game they play against another well-coached team that will show them what they're not good at. And they're then able to take that – show their kids and get better. They because of how good the other team is, they expose the weaknesses of the other without penalty, as you guys were talking about, and then they, moving forward, become better because of it. Now, also on one note about Bearcats tonight, they were without their best defensive lineman, Logan Thurman, who's out with injury, and their middle linebacker, in Weston Reese. He's also hurt. That's too bad. Pretty, you know, front seven, as far as front seven goes, your best D lineman and your middle linebacker's out, that's going to hamper you a little bit more because, you know, Weston Reese is a senior. And, you know, Hess, we called his name a lot. But, again, he's not the starter. And so they were without their middle linebacker. So that made it a little more difficult as well. And quite honestly, it felt like during the game that Alito was down 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had a chance to win it at the end. And I think that – will tell you even more about this group moving forward than anything else. They were probably one time out away from winning this game.
I think if they made the stop with 40 seconds to play, if they make the stop with maybe like a minute and a half, they give themselves a better chance. You know, of course, hindsight being 2020, and we can speculate.
Well, Guyer didn't stop them all
night
either.
Exactly. I mean, the only time Alito only punted once, and that was on its second possession, when they had the big penalty that threw off that possession for them. But I think the other thing we take away from this is all the talk about this Alito offense being dynamic, having so many playmakers in it, came to fruition tonight. I mean, JoJo Earl running out of the Wildcat every now and then, Jace McClellan showing you how great of pass catcher he is. We already know what a great runner that Jace is, but I think he's such a undervalued or under-recognized pass catcher. Money Park's coming back, and you could just see, you know, Tim Buchanan talked about how much he'd gotten bigger, much more physical, and we saw that in this game. And, of course, Jake Bishop has much more polish. It's fun to watch him grow up in front of our eyes like he has over the last 3 years.
You just got to coach against and guard against having such a great offense, and then because it can happen quickly.
Try to lean on them too much.
Lean on them because they're young kids. They're young humans. You don't want to divide your locker room. Like, well, you know, the offense is over here. We got all the production. We're the playmakers. If we could just get some help over there from the defense, because that's when you start to kind of – that's something that no matter which has been the dominant side, we've never really seen that out of the Alito culture. It is – even in the postgame, you don't ever hear a kid say, you know, hey, you know, offense, you know, they have always had the others back. And then when you start giving up 50 on a regularity, that's when you start to get kind of concerned, like, man, this offense is so good. They don't feel like they're getting much carry from the defense. I don't think that's a problem at all, but that's when you start to get so one-sided good that, you know, you start to break your locker room.
What I was encouraged by was in the postgame, one of our players of the game, the offensive player of the game, Max, or defensive player of the game, Max Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
I liked his attitude. He's outside linebacker, and he was pretty much go, if we score 57, we should win, basically.
Sure.
We We didn't get it done in the secondary. We didn't get it done up front. You know, he was
laying
blame everywhere.
Like,
felt like we came out flat.
Yeah.
And that is a group, again, there. I don't know how many more teams are going to play that have this kind of firepower. That's number one. But two, they're going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and I think Max Lucas may be leading that parade the rest of the way. And you've got a very defensive-minded coaching staff in the head coach and also the athletic director. And make no mistake, Steve Wood's going to help this group if they need – you know, if they come ask him. And those are two of the best defensive minds around.
He already was. He was on the sideline tonight.
You think Buck has just been an AD for 5 years?
Yeah, these guys will make this defense as good as it can be. Mm. And we know it can be better than what we saw tonight. Again, they were hampered a little bit by injury, as Geyer was last year. They will get better.
I love Max Lucas. Now he's – maybe this is – maybe he's the guy. If you're going to step to the front and use those words and say that now – you got to be the guy to carry the actions for the rest of the group to now follow, and I think he's primed to be that guy.
I mean, they're not going to get the challenge next week from the team from Mexico. Right. Obviously, when they play Centennial in 2 weeks with that option attack, that's going to be
crazy difficult offense,
and that's going to be a challenge for them on how they try and handle that, and especially with the front that you know has some things that it's got to work through in order to become
they
much.
They had three weeks to prepare for it. If you really want to be honest. Between now and next week and then the bye week and then when they play them, they've got 3 weeks to work on that one-off offense.
I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they – you don't want to say bounce back because really it's about taking elite games like this and growing from them. It's not – yeah, it's a tough loss. They never led in this game, never got it tied. I can't even remember the last time we ever were doing an Aledo game where that was the case. Maybe like Travis.
Yeah, first drive of the second half, they went for two, would have tied it.
Right.
But it failed there.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? Because that Lake Travis game was what?
2012. Bishop Amott.
Yeah, also. Bishop Amott, yeah. That where they got pretty much handed, where they pretty much got throttled that night. But, you know, it's fun to see a game like this because for all of us, for all the blowouts we've watched over the years – we were all engaged. These were fun games. It was something that if you're, like I said earlier, if you're going to be an elite program, you want to be involved in a game like this. And the result, if you get it, that's great. If you lose, but you play like this, there's so much you can take moving forward. Because again, like I was asking Tim Buchanan and the players, the bigger prize is again, trying to get to the Saturday before Christmas.
You know, and this is something in the 14 years, this is now the 14th year, we've done games together. You could probably on both hands count the number of times we've walked into a stadium and not really known for sure who was going to win the game. Because 98% of the time, we know Aledo's going to win. It's not a question of will they win, it's by how much are they going to win. And that's both the blessing and the curse that Aledo has had over the years in that when they go into the playoffs sometimes – they've had no tests whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now this team has seen, well, I better be – we got to get better. And they've got 9 weeks till the playoffs start. Well, 10 if you count the bye. But they've got – they've seen it. They've gotten kind of thumped upside the head a little bit, although it was only a three-point game.
Right.
And that will – this game will serve them so very well moving forward.
Yep, would agree with that. And, the last time they were really tested, I think we would agree, was – the original semifinal game in 2017 against Abilene Cooper out there at Shotwell when Money drops the pass that could have sealed it, and then they had to hang on and make some defensive plays at the game to hang on and win that game. But since then, they really weren't pushed. And so, again, it's a good check. It lets you know who you are, how you are. And here's the other thing. You're the number one team in the state of Texas in 5A. You just went against the number eight team in 6A. And you stood toe-to-toe with them. I did hear something about this. I don't know if the Geyer broadcasters mentioned this to you. But when they were talking to John Walsh post-game, he said, bar none, this is the most electric skill team in Aledo that he has seen in years.
Yeah. And he's coached some really
– And he's had some really good offensive players come through his program.
His kiddo is one of the best ones, JW, who was a starter at Oklahoma State, now running backs coach at Abilene Christian. Yeah, and he's won a couple of state titles. He's seen good teams, no doubt. He's in a district with Carroll, and it's brutal. Final thoughts from you, John, as we wrap up the first ever Bearcats podcast. And we'll work on it. The name is a work in progress. After the final gun or the post game podcast.
Hayden's Folly.
Yeah, there we go. Hayden's Folly, our engineer.
No real last closing other than I felt like the 40-0 last year, I don't feel like 60-57 was coming, but I knew we would see what Guy brought today. I kind of felt that was – I felt like they were laying in the weeds on it. And for Aledo to sit there and for everything that Aledo has lost and all the people they're trying to refill to still go toe-to-toe, I think maybe in December we look back and like, man, that was a great game. They were really a much better team than we kind of realized then. They're both teams, I think, are – end up being really good teams. Oh, yeah.
Don't want to sell it short, too. The crowd tonight here at Bearcat Stadium was amazing. Aledo stands were completely full. Guyer didn't fill its side on the south side, but brought a great contingent. It was just a great atmosphere for a really good high school football game.
Yeah, Eastern Parker County's growing for you. I've got to start leaving like 15 minutes earlier now to beat the traffic.
So you can be here 10 minutes before the game.
I can go straight from the parking lot, straight up to put the mic on, and we go hot.
You may just need to take the wireless home with you every week so that you can start broadcasting.
I can do my pregame from the drive-in. There you go.
There you go. All right, so that will do it for our first ever. It's experimental. We're going to do it each and every week, but this is, a work in progress. After the final gun, our post-game Bearcats podcast, and we'll do it along with our other elements that we're going to bring to it, have the play of the game, our visit with the coach, and also our players of the game that will be posted on the KTFW website. Hayden Posey, our engineer, says go to their website, Hank FM 92.1, and there will be a tab and look for the Bearcats or Aledo, the Aledo podcast tab. So you can kind of noodle around on there, but the main thing, find that tab that'll take you right there. And we're going to do this each and every week. And so you can kind of get your if you're getting a little Jones in for a little Bearcat talk, it'll be there, all of those different elements. And this week we'll have Coach Wood, the interview we did with him, talking about the Hall of Fame, and so you can get in on that. For Hayden Posey, our engineer, Kevin Longquist, John Hampton, I'm Jeff Williams. Next Friday night, 7 o'clock with the airtime, 7:30 is Aledo kind of reintroduces that rivalry with a team from Mexico, and we'll do it all right here and talk about it afterward here on the podcast, right here on KTFW 92.1. Hank FM, good night from Bearcat Stadium.